Welcome to the IGIS Institute Sounds of Safety podcast, where our community will be delving into a series of critical issues supporting the public sector mission space. Everything from the ethical use of artificial intelligence and cybersecurity and its impacts in these communities to collaborative projects that deserve recognition for their success. The Sounds of Safety podcast is your comprehensive resource for these topics and stories moving forward. Thanks for tuning in and for your support of our collective community. Enjoy today's episode of the Sounds of Safety podcast presented by the IGIS Institute. On today's episode, we're thrilled to welcome Larry Zorio, chair of the IGIS Cybersecurity Working Group and valued working group member Jeremy Cooper-Levitt, who will lead us through an insightful discussion. Together, they'll explore the intricacies of cybersecurity frameworks and the critical role they play in bolstering an agency's cyber risk management. This episode is the first of multiple that will examine the core functions of the NIST cybersecurity framework. Let's get started and enjoy the episode.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Cybersecurity Corner, part of the IGIS organization. I am Larry Zorio. I am the chair of the IGIS Security Working Group, and I also have Jeremy Cooper-Levitt on with me as well today for this episode. Hey, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's do a little bit of intros for the audience, as this being our first security podcast. Just do a little intro for everybody.
All right. I am a chief information security officer for a company called Aventiv. I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I've recently worked in the financial industry for Charles Schwab. So I've been involved in a lot of areas, a lot of things, a lot of different types of cybersecurity, and still learning something new every day.
Well, that's great. Thank you for the intro, Jeremy. The audience will come to know we have a lot of members like Jeremy. Jeremy's got some great credentials, you know, 25 plus years in the cybersecurity space and many different industries. And a lot of us on the working group have similar backgrounds, including myself. Larry Zorio, I am the Chief Information Security Officer for Mark 43. And I've been in the cybersecurity space for about 20 years. Many, you know, other industries, just like Jeremy, I was in healthcare for a very long time. I was in financials for a while as well. So hopefully, you know, between Jeremy and myself and really the rest of the working group, who you will get kind of introduced as we continue to have these podcasts, can really give you a really kind of good point of view on different cybersecurity topics, which is what this podcast is. We really want to come and provide you with content, whether it is maybe a current event that's out there or a specific problem or a use case that you're trying to solve. And, you know, today we want to focus on one of those in particular, which is frameworks and how to choose the right framework, cybersecurity framework. But let's, for the audience, Jeremy, let's start with kind of what is a framework. Let's get into that first. So what is a framework, Jeremy?
Yeah, I like to use the example in the financial world. They've had rules for accounting, for how you manage your money, how you pay your bills. They have had GAAP accounting rules forever. In the IT industry, I think it's only been in the last 30, 40 years where we've started to see rules and frameworks that have been put into place on what are best practices that will help you build the right type of information security program? And there really wasn't a governing body or a group that got together like the accountants decided to manage financial books and record keeping. So we're seeing today, like, there are a number of frameworks that are out there. Some of the popular ones were the COSO framework that was used in the early days when SOX 404 started. There's also the payment card industry, or PCI as it's known. They have their framework as well. There is the CIS level one benchmarks, or the different levels depending on how secure you'd like to be. And there's the NIST framework, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, that has been put together with collaboration between the government and private industry. And we're starting to see some front runners now of frameworks that, and a lot of it's based on like the feedback that and the open feedback loop that people give, like, yeah, this framework works for me. These controls work for me. And that's what I like about frameworks, is that they are a way that you can choose to help mitigate risks that you may have. And those controls that you put in place will help you, using a framework, lower the inherent risk that's out there. Because face it, if you're on the internet and you're on a network or you're on a computer, those things eventually at some point can be hacked. And a framework helps you to put controls in place to make it harder for those systems to get hacked.
Yeah, that's spot on with all that. I especially love kind of that last point you're making. It's really just, it's kind of putting together a plan or a roadmap for you, right? On these are some of the areas that you should focus on. Any cybersecurity professional, we have our moments where things get overwhelming, right? There are many different risks, many different threats, attacks against your company or your agency. And you could go in many different directions trying to solve these holes, these gaps. And, you know, frameworks can really help you focus. And Jeremy mentioned a lot, you know, he touched on some of the financial industry, and, you know, there's some in the healthcare industry, but, you know, certainly our podcast, we're going to be focusing more on public safety and highlight some of the more popular ones. Jeremy mentioned NIST. There is ISO, which is popular, especially in Europe, but I have seen it also in the United States. It is something that's recognized here, and we definitely try to follow that one as well. There is, yes, the CIS. There's really a lot. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, we'll help you decide on maybe a framework that would work best for your agency. Jeremy, you touched on a few examples, but, you know, we answered the what is a framework, why would we choose a framework? So why don't you go into a little more detail on why you're even wasting your time in choosing a framework?
Yeah. And it goes back to what you said. It's overwhelming, the amount of work that you have to do that to secure an environment. If you look at these frameworks, they're going to be large. And one of the things that you need to look at is, what am I trying to protect? What is the most important information that I have? And then how do I do it? I need some kind of a roadmap or a legend or some kind of life hack, if you will, that'll get me there. What am I going to do that I can measure? Let's say I pick a framework and it has 100 things I need to do to make myself secure. And it has different high-level categories. And then those categories delve into sub-level categories. But at least now I have a checklist. I can measure how I'm going to do. I'm going to pick these 100 controls and put them in place. There are going to be things like, how do I provide access to people? How do I control passwords? How do I respond to an incident? High-level kind of concepts that start to drill down. And I pick my first 100 things that I'm going to do. And that's where I put my budget around that and put my focus and priority around that. And then I measure it. How am I doing? Out of the 100, I've got 55 done. So I'm 55% of the way there to get myself secure from the risks my industry hits. And every industry is different. If you're an online industry, you're on the internet, maybe you're more prone to somebody coming and trying to hack into your website and get your code or try and get into a database over the internet, versus if you're using equipment that is not on the internet. Maybe there's different things you have to look at, but that's why I would use a framework. It gives me kind of a checklist of and a scope of the things that I should look at and start with first.
It gives you that North Star. It's that map. I was recently on another IGIS a webinar, and this topic came up, and I just gave a few examples outside of what Jeremy said. First and foremost, it's just important to have a plan, and these frameworks help you have a plan. But the question came up on why an executive, maybe your chief or your captain or whoever it is, you're trying to gain approval from them to maybe put in a control, or maybe you need some budget. That's where a framework can really help. If you're going to go to an executive or a chief or your boss and be very reactive with your asks, I need this, I need that, we were attacked over here, we have this hole over there, that will work for a little while, But eventually your boss is going to look at you and say, geez, this is very reactive. Does this person have a plan? And that's where a framework can really help. So my suggestion, one of the reasons why you should choose a framework is you sit down with your command staff, with your boss, review a framework that makes sense to them and show them that you do have a plan. These executives, these command staffs, they love to see charts and graphs and dials and colors. And you can accomplish a lot of that with a framework. To Jeremy's point around tracking your maturity, he had mentioned, let's say, all right, there's 100 controls, right? And I'm going to try to tackle 25 or 50 of them this year. That is something that you can then put that plan in front of your command staff, your boss, and talk to them about, hey, we have these 100 controls. These are the 25 I want to tackle first. These are the most critical areas of this framework that I believe we should tackle first. And here's the budget or the resources that I need for just this section. I'm not going to try to tackle everything. I'm not going to try to boil the ocean in the first year, chief or boss, but let's try to tackle these 25. And that's going to give you instant credibility with that command staff, with your boss. So that's really important. You can, these frameworks are out there. It can really be kind of just this good map that you have in your back pocket, and you can track progress. And you're also, the other part of you gaining credibility is over time, you're going to be able to show your maturity going up and up and up. And then the command staff, the chief, your boss is going to say, oh, wow, this employee, this staff member really knows what they're doing. I want to invest more in he or she. So that's big. And then the other part of it with a lot of these frameworks is, and this kind of goes back to your executive, your boss, they have to worry about compliance issues, right? Because everybody has a boss, and whether it's a regulatory official, a state official, a town official, an auditor, those are the things, well, one of the things that your chief is going to be worried about. So if you can find a framework that actually maps to some of the compliance needs that your agency needs to follow, well, that could be a win-win, right? It could, hey, we're gonna roll out this framework, but also, chief, it maps to our CJIS compliance that we need to be doing. And therefore, we're going to be able to check this box over here and that box over there. So that is why framework really important. I think everybody should try to choose one. So now, Jeremy, let's go on to choosing one, right? We talked about the compliance side of it, and you can go a bit deeper onto that if you want. But how do you go about choosing the framework that's going to work best for your agency, your company?
One of the first things that I like to do is, what are their biggest risks that I face? And we create like a heat map of our top 10 risks, and we put them in, the likelihood and how easy is it going to happen. I put those up in the top quadrant for those. And then I've already chosen a framework, and hint, it's the same one that we're talking about today, NIST CSF framework, NIST 800-53 framework. So this word NIST is a very popular framework. A lot of companies are using it. It's kind of the one we're touting as especially. What I do, though, is after I identify my risks, and I could also include, like how you pointed out, my compliance obligations. Because if I'm not compliant with PCI, or as you pointed out, CJIS, my program may be at risk because I'm not compliant there. So I start to go and look at the different categories of the framework I'm using and how do they map to my risk. So one of the things I really like is how the current version of the NIST CSF, it breaks it out into high-level categories that are easy to understand because they're just one words that, I'll just give you an example of some of them. Identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. Those are very simple words that when I hear that word, I understand it. And that first word is identify. And identify just means, what are your assets? What are you trying to protect? That's where you need to start. Like, know what it is, what's the most important things in your company. And as I go and I look through the identify different controls and categories, I look at, there could be like 20, 30, 40 different tasks that you need to do to identify them. And I look at, what what are those ways as I identify my assets that I need to find that will help me mitigate the risks that I have? The other one's like respond. I really like that one because respond means, how do I deal with when an incident happens or an issue happens? Someone got access to that data I identified that I didn't want to happen. And what were those controls that helped to help me respond faster? An incident response. What are the things that I do to do that? And so that's kind of like how I start when I choose my framework. I look at my risks that I've identified, and then I go into these different categories. I start high level because my brain works that way. Here's the five things I'm going to look at. And then I go into the subcategories, and then I go now down into the details. And I pick, you know, now I get into the real meat of it when I really delve into, you know, respond. There's like 20, 30, 40 different things to do. And I start to look at, what can I do now? What can I do with the minimal amount of investment that's already possibly happening already in my company that I can tap into and document? Yay, I'm doing that one. And that's where I pick my controls. I pick and I align them to the risks that I have, that I know that I have, and it helps me to mitigate them. But it just started with some kind of organized manner of starting with big categories and then drilling down into the details so they don't feel overwhelmed. That's kind of how I would do it, how I've done it in the past. But I just start with the easier ones, or I start with what are the ones that are going to get me right now that I really need to focus on.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of good points there. First being, you don't want to be overwhelmed. For anybody who's listening to this and maybe hasn't picked out a framework yet, don't go after one of the big, gnarly, complex frameworks. You know, Jeremy mentioned NIST-CSF. That's a really kind of high level, simple to understand framework. And, you know, that's a really good one. And it's actually the one that we suggest, which is we're going to talk about it today. So that's first and foremost, don't get overwhelmed. I think it probably needs to be a bit of a balance, right? Part of me says that you should go and look and see how you can get some quick wins with some of the simpler ones. And that's part of it. But I also think that Jeremy made the point kind of at the beginning there that you really need to do a bit of risk analysis within your agency. And I don't want to overcomplicate that. That just really means, like, what are your top risks? You have police officers that are going out into the field every day and they're using X and Y systems. They're using email a lot. We've had some maybe email phishing attacks in the past. Don't overcomplicate it, but just start thinking about where your real risks are in your agency or your company, and then look at those controls within that framework and say, all right, you know, this one over here, this is a big one. This is something that really truly is a risk to us. And for that reason, we need to tackle that. So it's probably a little bit of a hybrid approach. When you start this out, you want to have those quick wins that you can show progress, but then also you want to identify probably those two a bit more complicated ones that are not going to happen overnight. Maybe it's a 6-month project or a year long project to get through. And it's funny. I call it the snowball effect. Over time, you're just going to start getting wins and wins and wins. You're going to be gaining credibility. It won't be as bad as you think for those that haven't started. The other thing I wanted to mention, let's get into me and Jeremy and the rest of the working group are definitely recommending NIST-CSF. That we believe is a obtainable, approachable framework. And for the audience, because I know a lot of our listening audience is actually going to be in the public safety space, there have been a couple different polls that have been taken on kind of agencies across the United States, at least. And the majority of agencies actually are following NIST-CSF. So if you go ahead and you adopt that, not only is it something that is popular in this industry, but you're also going to have a community of agencies that are actually doing the same thing. So whether you belong to different organizations, volunteer groups, I know many states kind of have their own groups where you get together once in a while. Like, you want to have a bit of a support staff that you can lean on and ask questions to around this. So, Jeremy, you've already touched a bit on CSF and some of the highlights. What else do you want to kind of tell the audience about on why we have chosen and we believe, and we're going to start pushing out content in our group around CSF? Why did we make that decision?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think it's a tried and true one. It's been around for a while. Like, the NIST standards have been around for a while. And the other thing that you mentioned that I really like is that poll that you referenced in the industry, in government and public sector, are they using NIST? Where I came from in the financial sector, they're using NIST. There's a lot of people using NIST. It seems to be, to me, in my opinion, one of the bigger areas people are going to for larger frameworks for program building. There's different frameworks, though, for going and becoming more technical oriented, like a CIS level one benchmark. But the basic one to start with, a lot of people, in my opinion, are starting with NIST, and they start with NIST CSF because it's categorized, it's summarized better, and it's giving kind of like a detailed list of the things that you need to do. When a lot of people use the same thing, a lot of framework, that there's a lot of shared knowledge out there of how people handle things. So how does someone handle knowing where all their assets are following NIST? You could join different work groups or talk to people that are your peers in your industry, and they can tell you, this is what we use. This is what we use to detect malware on our endpoint, on our desktops. This is what we're using to protect our email. We're using Microsoft O365's inherent malware detection, for example. You can get good examples because people are speaking that same language as you, and you can build from that. The other thing that happens with using NIST is that new compliance regulations happen all the time, or privacy regulations all the time. And by building that security framework and putting it in place, putting all the ingredients in there, you're going to meet, in a lot of times, the 80-20 rule. So as new rules come out, you'll be like, huh, I'm already doing 80% of that because I've picked NIST and I'm following the categories. I've been doing this for 2 to 3 years. I can go show my boss, like, this new law came out. We're covering 80-90% of this. We only need to do 5 more things that weren't in the framework we were doing. It's a good thing we picked this framework here a few years ago, because now we only have to do 5 things instead of like 50 things. And so building that foundation, that security, now it's your security equals compliance. So you built something that lasts. And now as rules and regulations come out and catch up to technology, you already had that foresight and knowledge. And that 80-20 rule follows it, I feel like. If you start putting that in place, this foundation, there's going to be new things that happen, new rules and laws that come out. And there will also be new risks and new attacks that come out, attack vectors. But you already have something in place that you were building upon. Now you just have to add additional things incrementally.
Yeah, that is spot on. I actually wrote it down, and you said it before I did. I call it the test once, comply many, right? Is what you hear from time to time. I mentioned those auditors that are going to be coming in. Another one, you might get an insurance if you have cyber insurance, your agency or your company, right? They are going to be looking for frameworks that you follow. They're going to have their own set of questions. And the great thing is if you're following a framework, well, hey, all right, they're asking about passwords. We have 8 different controls in the framework about passwords. Let me go to my spreadsheet where I'm tracking it all, copy and paste, upload it to the cyber insurance company. That's another piece of it. It really, you know, you hit the nail on the head with it maps to many things. I think NIST is one of those. I think vendors are also getting on board with NIST as well. Your technology vendors, you could ask them, hey, all right, you're trying to sell me X product. I have kind of these gaps, if you feel like sharing gaps, right? But I have these gaps. How can your product help me with these gaps? And a lot of technology providers actually are doing their own mapping. So that's another great way. And I mentioned it before, but CGIS is going that direction. So I know a lot of our audience has to worry about CGIS, whether they're having their own audit or they certainly need to be compliant with it. CGIS is on their roadmap is to really start mapping their requirements or their controls back to NIST. So that will be great, which is another reason why we are recommending NIST CSF to our audience. Jeremy, do you have any suggestions? So people have listened. They understand what a framework is. They understand why you should choose one, how to choose one. All right, they're going to listen to us and they're going to choose CSF. Now what? Like, where do they go? How are they going to start tracking this? Like, it can be overwhelming. Do you have any tools, resources, suggestions on how people should just go about like managing a framework?
Yeah, you can Google it. I think we'll provide links as well in some of the white papers that we put out. But I think one of the best things to start with is to do an assessment of yourself and get a questionnaire that asks these questions of what do you do on these different things and start answering them so that you can start to see, I am doing these things and it maps to the identify category of NIST, or it maps to the protect or the detect, respond and recover. And get some kind of measurement and baseline of where you are now. And then when you decide, here's where I am now, I've answered all the questions for NIST CSF that it says, do you have this in place or not? I've given myself a measurement and I looked, I'm 30% of the way there. I would like to set a target to get to, at the end of the year, 40%. And these are the controls that I went through that I answered no on that I feel map to the risks that we have. So one of the top risks in almost every company is email. So I would look at that and say, email malware is a big one. What am I going to do to address that? And that's everywhere in the whole world. Everyone is getting their email inboxes are full of malware. And so that's what I would do is pick the ones that I can start with, the lower hanging fruit, and the ones that are biggest risks, and baseline myself, look where I need to go, and then set the goal that, you know, 3-year plan. I'm really big into 3-year plans. A 5-year plan is hard to do. A 3-year plan gives me the ideas of what I need to do that. And in your first year, go after the lowest hanging fruit. And if you find something that are easy to do, so maybe I can change some of my password complexity rules, for example. There could be a NIST control that says password minimum length should be X. And I noticed about 8 of my systems don't have that. So what can I do to get that in place? So I'm going to start with some simple things and look at the different categories. Maybe I'm going to try and do incrementally improve each category and move myself up from a 30% to a 35 or 40% by the end of the year. And then I tie that, my needs, the things I want to do, to the budget that I'm going to ask for. And I tie everything together and I show that roadmap out of where I want to go. And now I have a name and something to call it. I have categories of what they mean. And now I can go ahead and start to execute that. So that's what I would do and what I've done. But the first step is you got to baseline yourself, know what you're doing and what you're not doing.
Yeah. And from a tactical perspective, this is just a spreadsheet. That's all it is. You know, all the controls are documented online, copy and paste them all into a spreadsheet. And those who are better with spreadsheets than others, you can start creating formulas and that can track the maturity and the scores, but certainly just get it into a spreadsheet. Maybe put an owner next to each of them, try to prioritize them a bit, try to put a score next to it maybe. And I'd probably even just start with a yes or no. Am I doing this today versus no, I'm not doing it. And that's going to give you a sense of where to go. But, you know, Jeremy mentioned over time, we want to start kind of building additional tools and content for the community. The IGIS Cybersecurity Working Group plans to do that. So we probably still need to have some more internal discussions on how best to do that. But I think, Jeremy, it would be great, you know, at some point if we could share some tools or a simple spreadsheet to get people started in this space. So we'll kind of hold ourselves to that and building something like that. So great. Well, we're getting close to wrap up here. Is there anything additional you want to tell the audience around this topic that we left out maybe?
I just want to kind of reiterate that it's better to do something than nothing. It's better to get started. It's better to start looking at yourself, at your company, at your organization, and start coming up with a plan. That word is called due diligence. And when you're showing due diligence and due care, that you care about the technology that you're required to protect, and you're doing something about it, that is moving the needle forward. And that is looked upon, and in a lot of cases, if an auditor is coming in, they see that you're starting, and they see that you're pushing forward and getting going. And I think some of the things we've talked about today are ideas and examples of how you can get started. And so I think it's just important with everything out there in life, it's just take that first step and start moving and start to pick. And I would really, like I said, maybe pick 10 things, like, or 5 things that are realistically things that you can do as you read through these questionnaires and read through these requirements. That would be my best advice, but start doing something.
Start doing something. That's it. And I think for those that have not chosen a framework, you might have a bit of weight on your shoulders right now because you don't know where to start. And I know that weight. I've felt it before. It's stress. It's anxiety. What are we going to do? We don't know how to handle this. We just got this attack. We just had this issue. I truly, honestly believe that once you choose a framework, some of that weight is going to be lifted. Some of that worry, a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, but that worry will be lifted. So to the audience, don't get intimidated. Just, this would be the best, let's call it half an hour to an hour that you could spend over the next week or so, is just to dedicate to choosing the framework. Again, we're recommending CSF. Choose it, look at it, get it in a spreadsheet. And I think the worry, a bit of it will be lifted off your shoulders. So until next time, everybody have a great day and look forward to more content.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Sounds of Safety podcast. Be sure to stay connected with the IGIS Institute on LinkedIn and X, and don't forget to subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform to catch future episodes. From cybersecurity to artificial intelligence and deep dives into critical national data sharing initiatives, the Sounds of Safety podcast has you covered. Until next time.